the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Romans.
Well, Chef Edward Lee,
I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media.
Stephen George,
budding country music star,
J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
And here it is, the Rusty Satellite Show, the home every week of the most interesting people in the Ville. This podcast has been going on now for 295 consecutive weeks. I'm glad to be with you. I'm Rick Redding, your host, and I have some very interesting guests lined up this week. I can't wait to introduce you. In the second part of the show, you're going to hear from Todd Moore Baker. And I met Todd several months ago, back in November, working on my passport project. He is a remarkable story. He has spent 26 and a half years in prison. Not kidding. And he was released in 2018. He has a wonderful attitude and a mission in life now. And he's just a lot of fun to hang around. So I encourage you to stay tuned in the second part of the show to hear from Todd. I went down to his place in the West End. He's recovering from some physical issues, and invited me to his place in the West End on 38th Street, maybe? Okay. Anyway, I went down there and talked to him earlier this week. The show, as you know, is sponsored by Passport Health Plan. Our friends over there have been with me from the very beginning. Also by my friends at Heiser Health, where Peggy is shepherding my health journey, and the Eye Care Institute, which offers the best LASIK in town, or any other issues for your eyes. You can call them at 502-589-1500, my friends at Eye Care Institute. All right, well, my first guest this week is very relevant to what's going on in the city. Her name is Chandra Gordon. She is the executive director of the Louisville Library Foundation. I went over there on Wednesday to the new facility, the regional branch, not branch, the regional library center that is going to open in June. It's in the East End. It's near the Northeast Y over there, and it is a fantastic facility. It is not finished, but we were able to take it. They've been given tours recently of the building and the construction. I had to wear a hard hat and all that to get in. And a very interesting location, very interesting design on the place. They even have a maker side of the building, which will house a podcast studio, interestingly enough. So there's a lot going on there, and Chandra is right in the middle of it, as you know. I'm going to talk in the next part of the show about the mayor's proposed budget cuts and what all is going on with that. And that has to do a little bit with the library, but in a way that you'll learn about if you keep listening to this show. Chandra explains it as well in terms of the relationship between, you know, we're building a new, brand new $18 million library facility in the East End, yet the mayor's talking about cutting hours at the library and maybe closing one. So stay tuned, and you'll get a feel. You'll know what it's all about on that issue, and be a little more knowledgeable about things, which is one of the reasons we do this Rusty Satellite Show each and every week. Thank you for tuning in. Hang in there for my interview with Chandra Gordon. I'll be back right after that to talk to you some more.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and our passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
Boy, today I am in this fantastic looking new building. All it seems to be missing is books, right? I'm with Chandra Gordon of the Library Foundation. Welcome.
Thank you.
Or thanks for welcoming me out here. This is a fantastic building.
We're very excited about it.
It is. I heard there's going to be even a podcast studio in here. So
Absolutely.
You know, maybe the new headquarters for the Rusty Satellite Show. Chandra, tell me about what you do here.
Well, my job as the director of the Library Foundation is to raise the private dollars used to support the public library. So we raise dollars that pay for books, technology, okay, programming, those types of things.
Well, thanks for not, like, calling my number and asking me for money. But how do you raise the money? I mean,
we call people.
Call people and ask.
We do all the things any fundraising operation would do.
Okay.
It's grant funding, major donors. We do annual campaigns.
Okay. And it takes a question. Now, I want our listeners to understand there's a lot of news going on this week about all the stuff the mayor's going to cut, mm-hmm, if he doesn't get his tax money. How would that affect the library? Or what are the consequences for the library system?
They would be dramatic, absolutely dramatic. 70% of the budget for the library, I think it's right around there, is staffing. So if the library needs to cut, that's the area where you're going to see the most impact.
Okay. So it doesn't matter that we've got this nice new $18 million building that comes out of other funding. Mm-hmm. Right. And this, for people who are not paying attention, back in 2007, we had this vote and, mm-hmm, people said, no, we're not paying the tax to have more libraries. And now we've got this plan. And 12 years later, we're about to open the third regional library, which is quite an accomplishment.
It's great. Yeah. And I think to what you were saying, it's important for folks to understand that there is a difference between capital dollars and operating dollars. So capital dollars, they're the expense for building a building. And so you think of that like the investment you make in your mortgage. Mm-hmm. That's spread over several years. The operating dollars we're talking about in the budget, that's an annual expense. And so there's a difference there.
Okay. And the library's annual expense is in the ballpark of $20
million? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's correct.
And let's switch over and talk just about libraries in general for a minute, because, mm-hmm, I think there's a misconception. I said something to my girlfriend the other night. I was going to do something on the library. I said, oh, I never go to the library.
Right.
But people go to the library.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It's really, it's fun when we get out in the community and really talk to people about what libraries are doing today. If you know us, you love us. You know, you're there all the time. But if you don't, I think you would be quite surprised with what you would find. Of course, they're books and people love books. But a lot of folks say, well, I go online. You know, I have Amazon.
Yeah, it seems like people don't read books, including me. You know, I used to have a book going all the time. And now I'm just... So
well,
busy. You must hear that.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm sorry for you, but no, folks are reading, and actually, millennials love hard copy books. They absolutely love them, and they are some of our biggest users. But folks are reading. Kids are reading. Our Harry Potter programs are huge. So there are book lovers out there, and they're young. And children's programming, you know, folks bringing their kids in, they absolutely use our libraries for those things. But there are other things our libraries are used for as well.
Okay.
And one of the biggest issues we have in our community is the digital divide. Our libraries are often the place that people go who don't have access to the technology in their homes to get online. And you have to be online today to apply for a job.
Right.
To, you know, fill out the forms you need to get benefits, to register for classes, to register your children for classes. And often the library can be the only space for folks to do that. When you're talking about an older generation, the library is the space where they can come and learn about the new technology for free. When you have that, you know, Amazon Kindle or whatever you need to use to read your book, we can show you how to do that before you tear your hair out. You know, you can come in and learn about all of that. It's a place where people come to develop their skills. You can learn coding at the library. I love to tell this story, but I got a letter from my daughter's school saying I could pay $300 for ACT prep. And that's an absolute today. If you want your kids to succeed, a lot of times you're looking at, you know, additional training for your children.
Wow. Well, missed that. Thank goodness.
Well, ACT prep, you get that at the library for free. Okay. That's all my daughter did, and she scored very, very well.
Well, there you go.
So there are lots of things at the library that maybe, you know, people don't think about all the time.
Yeah, because we talked to, like, Rachel here, and she's in charge mm-hmm. of programming, and there's a lot of setups for different activities at the library.
Right.
But yeah, I'm sure you hear this all the time. I walk into the main branch downtown. I walk in there, and 90% of the people there are sitting at the commuter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that seems to be, like, all they do mm-hmm. At the library.
Now, do you go to the library to use a computer?
No.
No. Why?
Because I have a laptop of my own.
Exactly. So think about why all those people are there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Now, I'll ask you about one thing. You're not prepared for this, but my son went there, the main branch down there, and mm-hmm. they've like taken all the books and put them out of reach or in a... All the upstairs floors mm-hmm. are not open anymore.
No. They've moved books downstairs.
Okay.
And I'm going to bet one thing your son missed, which is really exciting and he should come back and check it out, is we took the whole Kentucky history collection that was on that third floor.
Okay.
And it's now been moved to the York Street side, the Carnegie side of the building.
Okay.
And so you can now find the whole Kentucky history collection on the second floor of the Carnegie side. Now, okay. I've been at the library. I've been working at the main branch. That's where our offices are since 2007. Since I've been there, there hasn't been an adult collection in that original library. And so okay. it's back, and it's just, it makes such a difference to be able to walk in those reading rooms and see the books and everything.
I'm thinking, is that where, like, the radio stations used to be?
The radio station used to be on that first floor where the children's section is now.
Right.
So
right.
Louisville Public, that's the other thing a library is. It's an incubator space. It's the original incubator. So Louisville Public Media got started there. That's where the local mm-hmm. Radio station got started. There are so many businesses that have been started. People came to the library and got their business plan developed there. Vietnam Kitchen is one. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, just things like that maybe you wouldn't necessarily okay. think about.
Well, Chad, you have an interesting job. Let me ask about you. How did you get started in this? Where did you grow up? What's that story?
I grew up in Tennessee, and I went to school at Maryville College, where I worked in the library.
Oh,
and
of course.
I absolutely loved it. I'm a reader. I love to read, love books. But right out of college, I started working in the nonprofit arena, and I had this dream about changing the world. And so that's why I got started in that particular career. I came to the main library because there was a position available, but because I love libraries. They're just great. I've stayed there so long because I've realized how radical the concept of a public library is. Access to information for everybody. And that's so important today.
Yeah.
It's a thing that we absolutely need. When you think you can go online, you say, I can Google or whatever, you're not getting an unbiased opinion. It's mm-hmm. often what the information you are fed is based on your own input. When you walk into a library, you're going to be challenged. You're going to meet people different than you. You can just browse the shelves and find a new idea. You know, and I just think that's absolutely essential for our community today.
Right. Right. Well, and we're out here in the East End. I know for people that don't know, I remember when the Dixie Highway branch opened, it's not a branch,
it's a regional.
Yeah. Regional library on Dixie Highway, and it was, 2014?
I think so.
And then 17 was...
South Central.
The one on next to Jefferson Mall, and uh-huh. then this one. This seems like, I guess it's, most people think of the East End as a little more affluent, mm-hmm. but there's not much library space around here. The Westport, this is going to replace the Westport mm-hmm. Middle School.
This right? one, this library will replace Westport Middle School Library, which was only very small and mm-hmm. only opened a limited amount of time. It would be shocking for a lot of people to realize that this area of the county has the least access to library space. And let me see if I can get this right. We have 23% of the population of Jefferson County living in this area. Mm-hmm. This area has access to 6.8% of available library space in the system.
Okay.
So
it's underserved.
Oh, absolutely.
But that'll change.
That will change. And also, you know, you have to realize the area where this library is being built. This is a community that needs this access. You know, this is just average income, average family community. And okay. So.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, for people that don't know, it's out here near the Northeast Y, mm-hmm. and it's on this, we just took the tour, and it's on this grounds that there's a lot of history here, too, right?
Absolutely.
What is that? Briefly, the history.
Okay. It was originally, there's a large home on the property, so it's a little over 13 acres is where the library is being built. The new building is on one end of the property, and then the original family home is on the other end of the property.
Okay.
It's the Ormsby Mansion. The Ormsby family built it. For a portion of its life, I guess you could say, this was actually an alternative school. And there used to be dormitories on either side of the what we call the ring road around the property.
Okay.
And so this the library kind of perpetuates that history of education here.
Okay.
Which is fun.
And it also like given the area, the history, mm-hmm. it's like I guess the government has owned the property a long time,
right.
Just waiting for something, you know, worth building on it. So.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we got to wrap it up. Tell me when it's going to open and all those good details.
Okay. We don't have a firm date yet, but but mid-June. Mid-June. We're looking at mid-June.
Mid-June. So there'll probably be some ceremonies and
absolutely.
And all that. So, we can send our money straight to you.
Yes.
If seriously, if somebody wants to donate,
they
I'll
can
let
go
you
to
say that.
LFPLFoundation.org, as in Louisville Free Public Library Foundation.
Okay.
LFPL Foundation.
All right. All right, Chandra. Well, it's been a delight to see the new place, and can't wait till June.
Thank you so much.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And there you go. It's a really beautiful facility over there at the new East End Regional Library. The land it's on, there's a bunch of history there. Having to do with the Ormsby family and things that were housed on that property before. So it's going to be fantastic in June. It will open. You can go onto the Library Foundation site that Chandra told you about and find out about some of their other tours that are coming up, including one that ends up at the nearby Holzapfel Brewery in Linden. So there you go. I'm going to get to more on the library in a second. First, tell you a little bit about this part of the Rusty Satellite Shows, where I talk about some of the things that I've been involved with and going on. I did go out to dinner at a new place last night, and I can tell you about it. It's replacing Clifton's Pizza up the street. I walked from my condo up to Steve O's Italian Kitchen, met Steve, and had a nice pizza pie. And boy, I miss pizza. It's not on my diet, so haven't had much, but went all out yesterday. And it was good. It wasn't... I was surprised that it wasn't more crowded, and but they're nice, very nice folks, very good food. Put a lot of money into the facility, and I can certainly recommend it as a place to include in your dinners and when you're trying to decide where to go to dinner. The old Clifton's Pizza, now Steve O's Italian Kitchen, been open a month or so, and I can strongly recommend that. Boy, I went to a great event last week. It was at the Olmsted, and I think I talked to you a little bit about it on the show last week. It was the tribute to Chef Dean Corbett, and what a great lineup of chefs were there. A lot of people were there that I knew, and it was just a lot of fun. There is again no shortage of people in the of interesting stuff in the restaurant business. As you know, I talked about Dallas McGarity, a local chef who recently won on the show Chopped, and I'm going to try to get him on the show in the next few weeks as well. So anyway, that's some of the stuff that's going on. All right, let's talk about this thing going on with the mayor. If you're paying attention to all the news, you know the mayor is is bebopping around town, going to see different people and encourage them to favor a tax on insurance premiums. Insurance premiums that you pay for your home, everything but your health insurance and auto insurance. The mayor wants to increase the tax on that so that the city can stay solvent and keep operating these things. So what he's doing is going around town, and some people call it scare tactics. Some people call it just providing information. He's telling you what is going to be cut if the Metro Council in mid-March doesn't pass the tax that he wants. If it doesn't happen, like for the libraries, you just heard about the library. The building is not going to stop construction over there. In the East End, but the library put out a tweet the other day that said its budget would be cut from $20 million to $19 million a year, that it would start to be closed on Sunday. All the library branches would be closed on Sunday. They'd be limited to 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and there would be layoffs of staff, which is, you know, not a good outcome. Fans of the library, you know, there's a lot going on, as you just heard about the libraries, but there's also cuts proposed to parks and golf courses and a lot of things. And of course, the Metro Council is going to vote on this. What this reminds me of, and those of you who've been around for a while know this, that back in 2007, there was a big campaign to raise taxes related to, guess what? The library, in order to build these branches that they've subsequently built over the course of 10 years, 12 years. The campaign was that it included television commercials, the mayor, all the do-gooder people, everybody that wanted libraries, in favor of libraries, and how could you be opposed to them, was talking about how much we needed to pass a new tax to pay for the libraries. Well, guess what happened? It was a vote by the people. Okay, it was actually on a ballot initiative to the vote, and everybody thought going into it was going to be close. That it was going to be an outcome that would be narrow either way. And a lesson you can learn from this is if you give people an opportunity to vote on whether to be taxed or not, they will adamantly vote no. They won't they just don't. Most people don't care about the consequences, and like so many people don't use the library, so they all voted no. I can't remember the exact number, but it was overwhelmingly opposed. My friend Chris Thieneman led the opposition to this tax, and it should provide a lesson. You know that you can't let the people decide whether they want to pay taxes or not, because they'll choose not to. So Fisher's scare tactics, and he's got everybody that works for the government on board. You know, your social media is filling up with these, we'll call them scare tactics, but it's already running into opposition. There are news stories in the media, in the Courier-Journal, from Metro Council members who are opposed. Kevin Kramer, for example, who's been on this show, has been in the news claiming this is, you know, sort of a created crisis that the mayor has come up with. I'm just going to tell you right now, it's 3 or 4 weeks from the vote, and in the Metro Council, it's not going to pass. I firmly believe it's not going to pass, because those Metro Council members, they're having meetings out in neighborhoods, and they're listening to people, what people have to say, and I think people just generally feel like, well, you know what, maybe government should cut back. Maybe we should have less people working for government, for local government. Maybe this crisis is should be allowed to happen, and go ahead and cut the library hours and close a golf course or two, and just remember what government's all about, which is public safety. Now, Steve Conrad is the police chief. He has been out there touting the mayor's line. He says there will be fewer training classes. He threatens that a lot of things won't happen in the police department if they don't have this money from this new tax. And you know, Conrad, I will say, time out. I have asked Conrad to be on this show because he is going to be our guest speaker at the Breakfast of Champions on Tuesday, March the 12th. I believe that's the date. Tuesday, March the 12th. It's the second Tuesday of the month at the University Club. $20 for a buffet breakfast. And you can go to that and hear what the police chief has to say about, I'm sure this topic will come up. He He has declined to come on to the Rusty Satellite Show. Sad. Sorry to say. But he will be at the Breakfast of Champions, and he will be taking questions. So it would be, if you're interested in meeting with him and talking with him, make plans now to attend the Breakfast of Champions on March 12th. So the bottom line, though, on this whole topic is that people aren't going to be in favor of getting taxed. And the Metro Council members, get this, there's a lot of new ones. There's been a lot of turnover in the Metro Council, and for a lot of them, this is the first like real crisis decision they've got to make. And they all want to get reelected. And if you vote for, to those Metro Council members, you vote for the tax, you know, whoever runs against you next time is going to label you as somebody that likes to increase your taxes. You can see the ads now, the opposition ads now. Hey, you know, Kevin Cramer voted to increase your taxes. Oh, okay, he's not going to have that, and I don't think a lot of them will. Certainly there are more Democrats than Republicans on the Metro Council, but they don't always line up behind the mayor, and I think there's a good chance. In this case, I think it will be a close vote, but I just don't think that the Metro Council members will vote for an additional tax. That's my two cents. Okay, there is something also going on. I want to mention this briefly because I'm a little conflicted on it because I do a lot of work for Passport, and Passport is a sponsor of the show, and I love them, and I think it's terrible what the state is doing in terms of the changing of the Medicaid rates. Now, it's a little bit of a difficult story to understand. Passport is one of five companies that Medicaid patients can go to get services, like going to the doctor, et cetera. And from the way I understand it, the state recently decided that they were going to make changes in the way Medicaid, their payments. Medicaid is financed by the state. And what they decided was that if you were in Louisville, if you were a company, if your members were in Louisville, you would get a 4% cut in reimbursement rates. Whereas if your patient is outside the city, you get a 2% increase, which does seem unfair. And you won't convince me that, there's some sinister forces behind this that don't like Louisville and don't like Passport and state government. That's all I can really say about that. But Passport has stopped construction for now of their new headquarters at 18th and Broadway, which is sad. And they are there's a lawsuit going on, or I think they're going to convene next Tuesday. The state has already asked for one delay, and it's urgent because Passport says that they could be insolvent by the end of March. So this is a very important issue, especially all the economic benefits that would come from building this headquarters at 18th and Broadway. It is vitally important to the success of the city economically and especially of the West End, because I've been doing these stories. I counted the other day. There are 63 stories on PassportWellbeing.com, the community, that I've written about things in the West End. I'm very optimistic about things that are going on there. And, what a tragedy would be if this doesn't happen. So we'll be watching that closely and hoping for the best is about all we can do. So anyway, that's sort of the two big stories I guess that are going on around and in town in Louisville this week. Let's get on to Todd Moore Baker, because you are going to be fascinated by this guy. It's an amazing story. When he was in high school at Western High School in Louisville, he was a football player. He was voted most likely to succeed by his high school class, if you can believe it. And he walked on to play football at UofL, didn't finish, but certainly moved on to what seemed like a successful life. He worked for UPS throughout his 20s, but there was a dark side. And the way Todd explained it to me, that his parents were drug dealers. And, he got into that life. And ultimately, he didn't really talk about the details, but he ultimately was arrested and charged with three counts of murder and was on death row. He wasn't on death row, but he had a sentencing situation where he could have been on death row, but he was spared. He was given a mandatory sentence of 25 years. A year ago, he got out of prison, and he's dedicated his life. While he was in prison, he created a nonprofit organization, and he is dedicated now to making life better for the youth for young people in West Louisville. It's really an amazing story, and I just wanted to share it with you. And so I went down to his apartment in the West End and talked to Todd, and he's just a very positive, uplifting person. I think you'll hear that in the interview that's coming up right now. And I'll be back to finish up the show right after you hear my interview now with Todd Moore Baker.
Today, the Rusty Satellite Show is in the West End with my my new friend, Todd Moore Baker. How are you, Todd?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful, Rusty.
I heard your story a few months ago, and it was just remarkable to me how you came out, not just that you came out of 26 and a half years in prison, but that you came out with such a great attitude and a great ambition for doing good work when you come out. So let's just talk about that a little bit. First of all, I know it's a bigger story than you can say in a short answer, but how did you survive all that time in prison?
Well, actually, Rusty, I have to be totally honest, because it wasn't me that survived. It was that I had surrendered my life unto the Lord, and it was Him that kept His hand on my life. And because I was part of the problem in the community of the West End of Louisville, mm-hmm. I had to be part of the solution, so I had to be retrained. It was like going through a resurrection.
Okay.
Going from death to life.
Okay.
So have to focus, retrain, and protected by the Lord to do His will, purpose, and plan.
Okay. Let's talk very briefly about what got you there and your childhood or your early years in Louisville. As I was reading the story I wrote about you, you weren't really a bad kid. You were most likely to succeed in high school, right?
That is so true.
At Western.
That is so true. Yeah. And, you grew up in a generational curse of a family that all we did was sell drugs. And even though I was one that was pushed towards education, but you pushed towards education as a way of furthering the family business. Mm-hmm. So, I went to University of Louisville. I was come out of Western, as you said, voted most likely to succeed. But it's a thing of that generational curse forever being a part of our lives. I even played a little football at U of L as well. When I look at it, Brother Rusty, and you asked about what led me to prison, mm-hmm. three counts of murder, being tried for the death penalty here in the city of Louisville back in 1991. However, you come to the grips in terms of yourself or who you are and who you are not.
Okay.
And that's the key of life right there. And I thank God for the person who showed me everything about the ills of life was the same person that came to liberate me as well. And that was my wonderful mother. Okay. So I'm thankful for that. Because when you have a mother, anytime comes to tell you face to face when you're being tried for the death penalty and happen to be in maximum security in the jail at that particular time, that she taught you wrong, that has a tremendous effect upon your life.
Okay.
Even at the age of 30 at the time.
Right. And looking at it from the outside, I mean, you had a respectable job with UPS for, 10 years?
11 years, exactly.
11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Became a driver for 3 years. A lot of the people that I delivered to came to my trial.
Okay.
In a way of saying, not him. Yeah.
I understand. All right. Well, let's skip ahead. You spent all this time in prison, and I understand your faith helped you get through it, and you finally found out you were going to get out.
Well, it wasn't a thing of finally finding out you're going to get out, because I had to do 25 straight years before I was eligible for parole. And that first time going to parole, they gave me an 18-month deferment because I wasn't totally upfront, honest, and giving them what they want.
Okay.
However, that second time around, it took a supernatural miracle of Christ for me to be blessed to come home. And it's just like the organization that I started from prison.
Okay.
I started two 501c3 nonprofit organizations from prison, one in 2006 and another one in 2012. So I've been doing community work for the past, 14 years.
Okay.
I didn't just start doing the work that I'm doing now.
Right.
I've been doing it. and just a lot of people began to believe in the Christ in me, mm-hmm. and believe in the work that I was set forth to do, the vision that God had gave me. And they started catching on to it and not only promoting it, but also taking the blueprint that I wrote up and executing it.
Sure, sure. Well, great for you. You were able to use your business skills from college, right, to start those organizations. I want to get to those in just a second, but the day you got out, describe the feeling. What did you do? How did you feel?
I hit the ground running because I lived that way in prison. Keep in mind, I had been saved since September 28, 1992. So I set out with a purpose and a plan to do more for Christ than I did for Satan. That's the impact, influence, and affect the lives of others, okay. especially those in the community that I have been a detriment to. So I looked outside those barbed wire fences. I looked outside those brick walls. I looked outside and said, okay, can you dare to believe that you can make a difference out there when you're sitting in here, when you're sitting in a prison, five different prisons? You know, so I dared to believe and I sought to make a difference. And when I stepped out January 2nd, 2018, that's exactly what I set out to do. And I haven't stopped yet. So they said, you didn't even have time to transition. Well, transitioning to me was having a focused mind on the inside of prison all those years. When I stepped out, got the opportunity to step out into freedom, I went forth and haven't stopped, like I said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and now let's talk a little bit about what you're doing. You got these organizations doing good in the West End. I mean, you immediately made a decision, I guess, when you left prison, you were going to come back to Louisville in the West End.
Exactly. Because this is the place where I help destroy. So I had to help build up. You mm-hmm. know, one guy asked me one time in prison, said, no, he was on the outside. I was on the end. He said, what do you think about the city of Louisville? And I thought for a second, I said, I don't think nothing about the city of Louisville because they're building these buildings and not building the people.
Okay.
It is a key to build the people, because when you build the buildings and not the people, who's going to go inside the buildings? However, when you build the people, those who you don't look to help,
sure,
those are the people that were going to be your base to be able to, as far as your economic base or your tax base, because they're going to want a job and they're going to want to be the ones to put you in office to help them. Okay. So I'm not a politician. I'm just a person who wants to help.
Okay. Okay. So give me a little explanation about what you actually do.
New Day Ministries is a up-and-coming 501c3 nonprofit organization that was started in 2012. It received its 501c3 status June 7th, 2018. We do love walks. Love is an acronym that we utilize. Love overcomes violence and its effects. In order to overcome the violence and the degradation and the ills that are plaguing the West End of Louisville, Christ said, go forth and show them the love that they don't know. And then we come back with a break in the cycle. There's so many evil cycles that are happening in these nine communities west of 9th Street.
Right.
So you got to be able to show the youth and the young adults today and the families how to break these cycles, how to overcome the drugs, how to overcome the gangs, how to overcome alcohol addictions and all the rest of the addictions that they go mm-hmm. through. And the Lord showed me through my life experiences, which I've been through, and I'm just like them, and I'm no different. If he can bless me to overcome, that I can show others how to overcome.
Okay.
And that's what we do. We employ others, encourage them that went through the same life struggles and that are out being great citizens to this community to come and be a part of and show the other individuals, the youth and young adults,
okay.
how to break the cycle.
So in these neighborhoods, you have these walks on a mm-hmm. periodic basis. And,
yes.
And how far do you go? I mean, you just have a group of people that...
3 to 4 miles radius. There's a mapped out perimeter.
Okay.
That through prayer, the Lord gives us the mapped out perimeter in which to go. Matter of fact, late March, early April, we'll be headed to Portland.
Okay.
The Portland neighborhood. We're getting the nonprofits in Portland involved in Love Walk. And the other businesses as well in that neighborhood, because you don't want to go disrespecting the neighborhood. You have to invite them in to be inclusive.
Okay. Okay. So, and the other thing when we talked before, you talked about these dream centers, right? And that's your dream, right?
It's my dream. You know, these dream centers are one that are a one-stop, one-shop, home away from home empowerment zones. However, I had a piece of property that I was going to build my first dream center on right at 35th and Muhammad Ali. And like I said, however, the Lord has led me in another direction now.
Okay.
Because to keep overhead low, because costs can rise rapidly.
Right.
The Lord has led me to go into different facilities and to bring our youth empowerment program to be in each and every last one of these
existing facilities.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm setting up a meeting now, hopefully, with the Muhammad Ali Center. Okay. And I can go and take a walk, a tour, and talk to them about bringing the empowerment program to be a part of the Muhammad Ali Center.
Okay.
And the YMCA, they welcome our youth empowerment program. And just, it's about having your different bases in different communities, because we deal with a gang problem in the city of Louisville.
And when you talk about empowerment, I mean, I'm imagining you sit down with people in a room and talk to them. But, I mean, what all is involved when you say you want to empower these youth?
You have to look at conflict resolution. You have to address the bullying issues. Like, I just had a event this past Saturday at Cole's Place speaking about the violence and bullying. Youth and young adults today it's an epidemic now of suicide. Mm-hmm. You know, they're dealing with so much bullying. They're dealing with so much trauma. So you must begin to go deep inside of these kids, like I said, through conflict resolution, through teaching them about self-worth.
Okay.
Teach them how to overcome that family dynamics that they see on a daily basis, because there's so many ugliness that have been poured into these kids that they got to go and retool the mind, and so they can be able to soar to new heights.
Okay. Well, I know I've seen a lot of your activity on Facebook. You're
yes.
very active in social media. People out there can go and make a Facebook friend with you, Todd Moore Baker. But I know now you're in the process of trying to raise some money.
Yes.
So tell me about that campaign.
Oh, that GoFundMe campaign, which we launched last Tuesday, the 19th, it's been going pretty well, and I'm thanking God for it, because we're trying to raise $5,000 towards program and services, not the normal program and services that one is able that they see, but one that is aimed directly at the child. Because a lot of times the youth and young adults, especially in impoverished communities, are not getting the one-on-one treatment that they need to be taught and to be able to be empowered to go to the next level. Because a lot of them can't even read. You know, the early childhood development is at a low point right now, especially in these impoverished communities. So you got to be able to not only speak into a child, teach the child, but you also must be able to develop the child through, I call it listen, to learn, to love, to lead. You have to do special one-on-one with them.
Okay.
Because so many of them have so many dysfunctions, like dyslexia.
Sure.
And then don't nobody know how to tap into the dyslexic mentality of that child. That child is just going to continue to go down, down, down. But once you're able to tap into that, and that child knows that you care for them and that you are there for them, any child with special needs, mm-hmm. they're able to say, please come in and help me.
All right.
And that's the key of it all.
Okay. GoFundMe campaign, you can find it.
New Day Ministries.
New Day Ministries. That'll be great. And if you want to meet Todd, I understand you're going to be at our next Breakfast of Champions.
Yes.
That's on March 12th, so with Steve Conrad. So hopefully some of you folks out there that want to hear more about Todd and what's going on.
Amen.
Can be there for that. Todd, thanks for inviting me over and talking to me.
It's a joy and honor and pleasure. And you can also, like Rusty said, go to Todd Moore Baker, Facebook.com, Todd Moore Baker, or Facebook.com, New Day Ministries.
All right, a big thank you to Todd Moore Baker for appearing on the show, as well as Chandra Gordon for being such a gracious host at the new library site. That's what we do here at the Rusty Satellite Show. It's sort of a labor of love, and I really enjoy getting to talk to such interesting people right here on the show. This isn't the only show, though, on the Louisville.am network. I'm now the owner of that network, and encourage you to go to the site, Louisville.am. Check out the Crunch Zone. It's everything U of L sports, and we've got some other shows in the works. I'm actually working with a former recent guest on the show, Melissa Swan, who's creating her own podcast. It's going to be very interesting, called Swan Dive, coming very soon to a Louisville.am network near you. It is it's my pleasure. I also operate LouisvilleKY.com. You can find current stories such as what's going on with the city and the financial crisis right there and at LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. Hey, got another event coming up too that I want to tell you about. I'm looking forward to the weekend of March 8th. The my friend Archie Borders, who has been on the show, they've been working on a movie for over a year now called Under the Eiffel Tower, and it's now out, and it's going to be shown at the Speeds at the Speed Museum that weekend. I understand. I just saw a thing on Facebook said the Friday night showings, he said, were sold out, but there's other showings on the weekend. I'm going to try to make one of those because I want to see the film. I've been hearing about it from Archie for a long time now, and I'm anxious to see it. So you should make plans to do that as well. Also make plans to attend the Breakfast of Champions on March 12th with Police Chief Steve Conrad. All right? So that's about all I got for you. This is what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. And I'm looking forward to the next few weeks of shows. We're out. This is the last one in February, thank goodness. The weather will start changing. Be able to get out and ride my bike and do things outside again. And really looking forward to that. So stay with us. Tell your friends about the Rusty Satellite Show. Subscribe on iTunes. There's a whole bunch of ways to get close, to know about the show. It's very consistent. It comes out each and every Thursday morning. And you can just make it a part of your regular lifestyle. If you want to get a hold of me to talk about the show or a future guest or your own podcast, you can call me at 502-439-6391 and I just might answer it. You never know. So thanks again, and I'll be back next week with another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.